I had a lot of things going through my mind as I was coming up here and getting ready. One, for John. Those who look to him are radiant. Today, there's going to be somebody in your life that is going to be rather radiant. Enjoy the moment and enjoy whether it's 33 or 34, and I was thinking, or 64 for Ernie and Helen, my in-laws. Enjoy the next 64 years together, okay? And there were just a lot of things that totally unrelated to what I had to talk to today, but one, I was thinking, when you do get married, I look to our drummer, and he got married last week, and he looked so much more mature this week already. Did anybody notice that? Man, that's just incredible. And then as I'm coming in this morning and people are looking at me like, oh, you're going to be speaking today, and I'm getting heckled and left and right, and I'm thinking, you know, 2 weeks ago when the other Glenn, you know, like 6'12" of him, nobody's heckled him when he came in. Man. Yeah. So, but that was a good message, by the way, because I stole it. And where are my two kids? Where's Trina? Did she already leave? Oh, they went to nursery. Trina and Marianne, two of my kids from middle school. They can hear me. Well, Trina and Marianne, if you can hear me right now, thank you for your kind comments about that wonderful message on Goliath that I preached at chapel on Friday. So, I really did. Yeah. Did everybody get my detailed, comprehensive 14-page notes from today's sermon? Because they are back there, Craig. I guess it's only half a page, but yeah. Joshua 24. Let's go there. And Lord, we ask you to bless our time in Joshua. What a great man of God. What great words of wisdom for us as the church. Be with us now, Lord. Amen. So Joshua 24 is toward the end of the book of Joshua. And I have summarized it down into 12 words. So this is a Cliff Notes version. How now? First two words. Second thing we're going to talk about is you? No. Third piece we're going to talk about is serve God. Then we're going to talk about, it says, it's Him. I can't read anymore. Getting kind of squinty here. Then we're going to say, can you? Then we're going to finish up with, we will. So there it is. Book of Joshua, chapter 24, in 12 words. But it starts off with how now. How did we get here? Where we're at now, how did that happen? So we're going to dive in. 24, verse 1. It says, then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods. Now, the river was the Euphrates. They lived kind of way out east. It's kind of like our country. They were out east, but then they kind of migrated west. So, long ago, your forefathers, including Terah and father Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods. They worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river and led him through Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. And I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. When I brought your fathers out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried out to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the desert for a long time. I like that. Then you live in the desert for a long time, like 3 weeks. It's really, really long. But we know the story. This is Joshua talking to his nation. And the message today was embrace the church. Well, embracing the church, I kind of look at it as analogous. The analogy is to the nation of Israel. Joshua is talking to his people and he said, hey, remember where you were. Remember how you got here today. As a nation, as a church, as a body of believers. How we got here, where we're at now, it was with the Lord's help. At the very end of that, it says in verse 7, it says, you saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians, what I did. Now, that wasn't Joshua talking. He's talking for the Lord. What did the Lord do? And what has the Lord done for us as a Christian church? What has the Lord done for us as New Heights Christian Church? And remember that it's not a whole lot about us. It's a whole lot about Him and His call and His service to us. So that's just kind of the prelude there, verses 2 through 7. Then we go on to verses 8 through 13, and he clarifies that a little bit more, but he kind of answers the question, is it you? And the answer is a resounding no. Verse 8, I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them from before you, and you took possession of their land. When Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam. So he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as I did also. As did also the Amorites. Sorry, let me start over here. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites. But I gave them into your hand. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. Also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. You did not do it. Now, I don't know why the Lord sent them in a hornet. I mean, this is like one of the first passages where we have a car. Anybody remember the hornet? Wasn't that a car? Yeah. And he put them all in the hornet, and he moved them on out. Don't really know what that hornet was. Was it a literal hornet? Was that hornet symbolic of an army or whatever? But he put them into a hornet. I like that. But I delivered you out of his hand. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. Message here for our church, for the church. It's still coming back to the Lord. It's still looking to the Father in heaven who has taken care of us and provided for us day by day. He is the one who has built this church up. He's the one to call. He's calling us. I'm getting ahead of myself, but he's the one that's calling us to be the body of Christ. And we need to step up and be willing and able to do that. This is going to, one part of this is a little bit better. My wife is actually paying attention to me right now. She wasn't earlier because there was a young lady sitting right in front of her in her little seat there. Eliana was just sitting there with her eyes wide open watching Diana. So I'm glad she's over here and just sneezing and enjoying everything I'm saying. We go on in verses 14 and 15. we're to serve God. And Joshua 24:15 is one of my favorite verses of all time. But it goes on a little bit further. This is a message for us as individuals. This is a message for us as a church. This is a message for us as the body of Christ in whole. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped before the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. He's calling us to serve the Lord. He's starting to say, okay, you need to throw out those other gods. What are those other gods in our lives today? Anybody have them? I do. I constantly battle against them. It might be, and sometimes it is, my job. Sometimes it's my pride. Sometimes it's my family. Sometimes, John, it will be your wife. Diana's going, what? That never happens. For me, you know what it is on a Sunday morning? Pastor Dan would know this. The Sunday morning paper, I get a newspaper on Sundays only. It can be a god for me sometimes because it gets me away from focusing on the Lord. What are those gods in your lives? We have our sports, we have our music, we have our different things in our lives that sometimes distract us from the Lord. And sometimes that distraction can be the very ministry that we're doing to serve Him. Because we get so caught up in the very ministry we're doing it, we forget to get caught up in the people that God has called us to serve. And Satan loves nothing better than getting us all caught up in the busy work of whatever it is that the Lord has called us to do, that we become consumed with that and we forget about the Lord. So what are those gods in your life? And be willing to confront them and ask the Lord, Lord, help me. What are the gods in our church that get us caught up and distracted from the Lord and doing His work, that we get out there and we touch lives and we change lives? Be willing to ask those questions and be willing to confront them. Be willing to make a change when there needs to be a change in your life. I can't tell you what those things are for all of you. Well, I probably could. But then I need to be spending my time worrying about myself, because we can run around and say, what is that guy doing? What is that gal doing? But the Lord needs us working on ourselves right now. So, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Write that on the doorsteps of your home. We will serve the Lord. Going on to verse 16 through 18, we're reminded again. Then the people answered. The people, the nation, the congregation. They answered. They answered that it's Him. Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God Himself who brought us and our forefathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because He is our God. This is a good time in the nation of Israel, because they're actually remembering and acknowledging, yeah, it was the Lord. Because, you know, this is after 40 years where they couldn't quite remember that it was the Lord. What happened? They crossed the Red Sea, right? And as soon as they get over there, what happens? Lord, can we go back? At least we're going to get some good food, like leeks and onions. And I'm thinking, really? That's good food? But the nation spends the next 40 years wandering around, kind of forgetting who they are all the time, whining and complaining. But they've reached a point as a body of believers at this point in their life, they realize, oh, we do need to serve the Lord, and we remember and acknowledge where we are at and how we got here. That's a prayer for us to remember. How did we get here? Was it just the hard work of Pastor Dan and Bill Bowser and Craig and Ron and Larry working on a building here? No. They had a small part in the Lord's plan. The Lord was the one that brought this congregation together. The Lord is the one that has brought His church together. Let's never, ever forget that. We're going through some of that right now. We are going through some of the memories of that. Is it the 20th? That's the 20th anniversary, right? I don't even know. I just see all the pictures and figure it must be like the 17th, 18th, 20th, 21st anniversary. We can look back and celebrate many of the steps and many of the deeds. And even as a nation, I mean, they start out, they do recognize and remember those points. And those are good points to remember. Whether it was crossing the Red Sea, whether it was the Lord cleaning out some of the other people that needed to be cleaned out, they remember that. But they always fall back to, it was the Lord. It's the Lord that's brought us here. Wow, I got to stretch this out like another half an hour. Verse 19 and 20. And maybe this is the point where it really does tie into my sermon title. I'm always looking for something to catch people's attention. So Dan says, embrace the church. And I added, you knucklehead. This is where it really goes on, though. He says in verses 19 and 20, Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins, because He's looking back. Joshua's one of how many? Two? They get to stay after 40 years. Because he was faithful to God 40 years earlier. He's reminding him, you're not able to do this. I know how many times you whined and complained. But he looks back and he's kind of challenging them. He's kind of throwing it back in their face. Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. You're not able to do this. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. And he's really asking, can you? Can you really serve God? Can you really give up the other gods in your life? We talked about, you know, I just rattled off a few that might be examples. It could be your ministry here. It could be your work. Whatever it is. Are you willing to set those things aside to minister to a single person today? Most of you know, I'm the principal at Rainier Christian Middle School. We've got like 118 kids in our school, just 7th and 8th grade. That's like 15 more than we had last year, so that's like a 15% increase. Oh yeah, that's good. That's a good thing. But it comes back to, I have one student I can look back to last year and know that after what I thought, we had a guest speaker come in, thought he gave one of the weakest messages I'd heard all year. At one point, I don't know if it was a goof up or intentional, but they flash up his slides and he shows up, you know, voila, the white slide, right? Which is a polar bear in a snowstorm. Everybody know that? I'm thinking, whoops, he messed up. We go on. And he goes, oh, hold it. No, we're going to be washed white as snow, just like Jesus did. Oh, okay, that's good biblical reference to a messed up slide. But after that chapel, One young lady came into my office. I ended up grabbing another teacher and we led her to the Lord. Because she came in, she says, you know, I've been hearing about all this stuff for a long time. And she literally says, I want to be washed white as snow, just like that slide showed. I'm thinking, okay, ouch. The Lord just humbled me through one kid. Not the school's got lots of kids there. Not, hey, we're going through all the right motions. We're doing our chapels and we're doing our Bible studies and we're doing our educating of reading, writing, arithmetic, all that fun stuff. But one messed up slide made all the difference for me last year, seeing a kid come to the Lord. And that's what it's about, is reaching into kids' lives and changing them, reaching into people's lives. My job is kids. But whether it's a kid or whether it's an adult or a small child here, it's the same thing, reaching in and touching and changing lives for Jesus Christ. We have to continue doing that. As a church, we have to be able to reach out to those strangers. I share at my school, we have to continue to reach out to the unlovely. And we have lots of unlovely kids. Not because of the way they look. I leave that for my other teachers that I pick on all the time. I got a few favorites on my staff. I always call them the unlovelies. But they're really not. But it's the unlovelies, the kids that are unlovely because socially, they do not fit in. They drive everybody crazy. They have horrible attitudes. They ridicule what it is we teach and preach. It's the unlovelies that are the academic failures. Anybody, you know what it is. For those of you that are teachers, how many of you are teachers? Raise your hands. Yeah, got lots of teachers in here. It is easy to teach the kid that you could just go and go, here's a textbook, and they're done. And they got A pluses, and they're doing all. Who is it that always does the extra credit? It's the kid that always already has an A plus. He goes, yeah, I like school. This is cool. Can I do some more? Yeah. But it's the unlovelies, the kids that are struggling and can't figure it out. Those are the unlovelies, the ones that can't understand it, the ones that don't want to understand it, that don't want to spend the time, have never been taught what it is to even study. How are we going to go and reach those kids? What are we going to do differently? Because that is your excellent teacher that reaches out and grabs hold of and changes one life of a kid that would otherwise be unlovely academically, socially, spiritually. I'm pretty sure we have at least one witch that sends kids to our school. And I'm not kidding. We have people that come into our school and I'm going, what in the world are you doing here? Totally different religions, secular, humanist, whatever. We need to be prepared as a church. And we never know. I found that out a couple weeks after I'd interviewed the family. Oh, did you know? No, I did not know that. But we need to be prepared. We don't know what's walking through there, and we don't know what unlovely stuff they are carrying with them, emotionally, socially, spiritually, academically. Let's be ready to deal with them when we can. Okay, so he says, can you? And he's really asking, because he's going, I don't think you can. He's asking with that tone, can you really do this? And he's asking, because I'm thinking you can't. That's Joshua asking the people. But what do they do? Verses 21 through 24, we will. We will serve the Lord. But the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. And then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. I'm calling you out on it. I'm calling you out. You are witnesses that you're going to serve the Lord. Well, yes, we are witnesses, they replied. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. Yield your hearts to the Lord. Throw away all that other garbage that's distracting you from what you should be doing. What should you be doing here as part of this body? Is it the same thing you have been doing? Or is it a little more than nothing if you have been doing nothing? What is it you can be doing? What is it? Throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord, our God, and obey Him." We will serve the Lord, our God, and obey Him. So what is it that He's calling you to do? It may be right here, and it may be doing something more here. It may be just stepping out of your comfort zone where you work and being willing. Trina invited one of her friends from school, and she was here at church today. Praise the Lord. She invited another kid. What are we doing to invite another kid to another person? What are we doing that, you know what, I'll spend that extra time at the coffee shop? You know, Dan goes to, what is it, Jack in the Box? Or Taco Bell. Taco Bell. And he hangs out at Taco Bell. He does go to Arby's? Okay. He gets around, doesn't he? Yeah. Okay. I wonder how many other... And we think he's really serving the Lord by just going in, but he is. We know. Because I've talked to him. I know he shared that. But he goes there on purpose. Like my old boss, I know I've shared this story, that if you want to know a very secular place to go hang out at, go hang out at the local Jeep Club. It is not normally the bastion of Christian faith and testimonies that are going on at the local Jeep Club, but he spent years in a Jeep Club as an opportunity to reach out beyond his comfort zone, because he did drive a Jeep. And spend time with guys that don't know the Lord, have no interest in the Lord, and be able to share just a little bit about the Lord with them. He did that for years until he's retired now and headed off to Montana, where he can go play with his Jeep even more. But where is the Lord calling you? What is the Lord calling you to do as part of His church? Let's pray. Father, You've called us all to embrace Your church. Whether that point got through today in this message, we are reminded from Joshua 24 of a nation that was called to come together and to walk before You as a body, as a single body of believers. Lord, I pray that we can follow after You, that we can serve You as a congregation, that we can serve one another for You, that we can serve those outside of this church for You, that we can grow closer to You as an individual. Lord, we are thankful that You stick with us even when we wander off, even when we whine and complain about missing out on onions and leeks. Lord, there's so much more than the onions and leeks in our lives. And let us seek after those things. And let us seek after individually, but as a congregation, let us seek after those things too. That we can serve You and honor You and glorify You in the lives that are brought to Christ through what You do here day in and day out. We thank You for this day. We thank You that the weather is already letting up. And Lord, we know that Your hand will be on a great celebration this afternoon. We ask You to bless John and Danielle, especially so this day. And all those that are there to help them too, just be with them. We thank You, we praise You, and it's in Your Son's most holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.